Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Golden Spiral Media.
Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, episode 47, week review.
Welcome to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of Fear the Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278. Or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And tonight, we are covering season 4, episode 12, which is titled Weak.
You're worthless and weak.
You knew I was going to do that.
That fit perfectly.
I know. All right. So this episode was written by co-executive producer Kalinda Vasquez. And I don't think she has any credits on here yet. I think she's like joining mid-season or something as a co-exec producer. But she has credits from such TV shows as Runaways, Once Upon a Time, and I'm guessing that's where she knows the co-showrunners, Andrew Chambliss and Ian Goldberg, because they were exec producers on Once Upon a Time, Nikita, Human Target, and Prison Break. So some pretty well-known shows there.
Yeah,
and totally. Yeah, directed by someone who needs no introduction, Coleman Domingo.
Strand.
My style and episode. All right, so let's get right into it. Mark, what'd you think of Week?
Well, I gave it 8 out of 10, mile marker 27.
We are going to talk about mile marker 27. Quite a bit, actually. I have some things to say about that one. Kyle, what did you think of Week?
Gave it 7 reporters that I don't know out of 10.
And I'm right in the middle. I gave it 7.5 cracked open grisettes, which I had no idea what a grisette was. It turns out it's a beer.
Oh, wow.
Or yeah, I know that. Fake looking H2O tower scenes. Because there was something about it that didn't look real to me. Or maybe not lost bo staffs? Because I wanted to point that out because last week I, of course, said that looked like Morgan had lost his bo staff. And miracle of miracles, what shows up but his bo staff? I don't even know how he got his bo staff back, but he got it back. So. All right, so we've got some listener ratings. Mark, why don't you start off with your co-host from Panels to Pixels, Steve Brown.
Steve gives it 7 out of 10 augmentins in the bus.
Yep. All right, well, PB and Zane gave it a 6 out of 10 Walker Hood ornaments.
And Cheryl Fox gives it 6 out of 10 poison bottles of water. And last, Mark?
Glennis Gultz gives it a rating 8 out of 10 Far Cry Tower. Just reminds me of that Far Cry 3 game where you have to had to climb a bunch of towers to open up more maps, area, and restock on supplies and ammo.
All right. Well, let's go on to Awesome Sauce. All right. You just went, but we're going to ask you to go again, Mark.
Cheryl Fox says, the talk between creepy women and Morgan, it actually creeped me out. but I want more of that.
Yeah, totally. Creepy is right.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah.
All right. Steve Brown says, for his awesome sauce, the fight between Al and the walker with half a leg, and Al and June finding Morgan.
PB and Zane, her awesome sauce, she says, I guess it was when the mud walker's leg broke off. It was difficult to find anything awesome in reality. Yeah, I guess she didn't care for it too much with a six, so. Yeah. All right, one more.
Yeah, Glennis Goltz comes back again with snapped off leg swamp walker getting carjacked. It's a little smiley face. And also, filthy lady editing the highway signs.
Yeah. All right. So, looks like you've got a few here. Awesome sauces. So,
yeah.
Let's not give your voice any time to relax.
All right. As cheesy as it was, the zombie on the front of the car that Sarah and Wendell were fighting over points about looked really cool. I like that from a zombie standpoint. That usually comes something out of Z Nation, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it too. And I guess there was a lot of preparation in setting that up, according to Coleman Domingo. So, because that
he was saying like 200 people and like lots of emails and Talking Dead, he talked about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I liked it too.
I'm wondering if they actually used the game Big Mother Trucker as a resource to that, because I think there was like some sort of thing where you could change the hood ornament.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing I would say, the interaction between Althea and June throughout the episode, it was a way for June to know Althea a little bit more, but also for her to find out what it was like to be manipulated by someone like she did to Madison and Strand back when they were in the at the ballpark, you know. The other bit I thought was pretty cool was June coming into her own in some way, trying to help Althea and retrieve the truck. We know now that she can handle herself and interact with others just like Quinn, but seeing the goodness in people and with, you know, her statements, especially when she was looking at Quinn and trying to bring her into the fold at the end.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Kyle, what do you have?
I mean, there wasn't really anything that blew my socks off in this episode, but I did like when June and Quinn were having their fight, and then June, like when she was struggling with him with the gun that he had, you know, to her head. And then of course she's like, she kind of like gets, you know, so you do what anybody would do in that situation. Like you're about to be shot, you know, and you're like struggling. And so she like just elbows him in the crotch as hard as she can. And then that knocks him down, and she gets up, puts her foot down, grabs his other gun, and then basically just like stands there and starts walking back to the, you know, to the van, just to like, no. Like girl power.
Girl power.
It was a good fight scene because I did get that really, like, I was kind of a little bit worried for her. she came out.
Yeah, I thought that was a good fight too. And it was originally I wasn't too sure about it. I think there was something weird going on with, I was watching it on Sling TV, and the episode was kind of jumping around a little bit. So I thought that there was some weird editing there, but there wasn't. But there was another part that was kind of weird. So I'm going to segue into my awesome sauce, which was that for the most part, with two small exceptions, I thought it was a decent first time directing job by Coleman Domingo. I thought he actually did really well. And I think the two things that I noticed were only one of them was kind of partly him, and the other was an editing choice, I think. So I'll get to that in a bit. But for the most part, like the shots and all that stuff, I thought it was really well done. You can tell that he's very much, you know, an actor's director, because he seemed to get the right character moments on screen. I thought that there was, you know, some good stuff there. And, you know, for the most part, it was a decent episode. It wasn't a fantastic episode. I think there, I should mention, I went back and watched, The Code again. I was probably a little hard on that episode, but it's still not a great episode. But I thought this one was a little better. So, but I think there is a little bit of a you killed Madison penalty. I'm still giving the show right now. So,
yeah, I like the flow of this episode much more than I liked from last episode or even just kind of previous episodes. Like rewatching and whatever, it just seemed to go nice forward. Yeah. Like there wasn't anything that just kind of like threw me out of everything.
Like I was just thinking back though to like last season, episode 12, and Kyle, I don't know if you remember what episode 12 was, but that was the episode that Jake died.
Mm.
And you know, the walkers or the infected, which they called them then, were storming upon the pantry, and everybody kind of went in the pantry.
Mm-hmm.
That was that episode. And then of course the next episode was when, Alicia had to kill all the people in the pantry. But if I go back and think of what I was thinking of the show a year ago versus now, I hate to say it, but I enjoyed season three quite a bit more than I did season four. But it's still, you know, it's still good. It's, you know, I still want a podcast about it. I still like it. I'm still a little sour. I want to see where they're going at the end of this season to make me give my final determination of whether I think that, you know, killing Madison off was the right decision.
Right. No, and we're still kind of, you know, we still have a lot more to see, but it is. It's kind of like there's still a lot more questions or like where, you know, the direction they're going. Mm. So, yeah, it is to wait and see, and I hope it's for the best.
What they need to do is have Garrett Dillahunt in all 16 episodes. That we need John Dory all day, all night. And if we did, you know, I think I would have a much brighter outlook on the show. And it's worth saying that next week is a John Dory Strand episode, or at least they're
in there.
They're in there quite a bit. So looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's move on to the week variety of week.
Yo, worthless and weak.
Weak. All right. Mark, you have the first one.
Glennis Gold says, lock up that SWAT van and all this would have been avoided.
Yeah.
Very true.
I would agree.
I had that down myself.
And maybe later one of my weak sauce might run into that exact observation. Cheryl Fox, she says, lots of things come to mind. Al getting sick, taking the meds, and she's a lot better.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but antibiotics don't work that way.
Right. It's usually days.
I mean, there are some antibiotics that you can take a single dose, but I don't think Augmentin is one of them.
I'm assuming it's in pill form.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know the ones you can get in your bum can take like much faster, like strep. Injection. I know you can. Yeah. I know if you have strep, you can get an injection in your butt.
But not true. That's impossible.
Unfortunately, it's possible.
Well, then we never saw it.
All right. So Steve Brown is next. The fight between Al and the walker with half a leg, and Al and June finding Morgan. So those were weak? How were they weak? All right. Now it's for our weak sauce. So, Mark, what do you have?
The lack of John Dory, Strand, Alicia, Charlie in this episode. I know this was a dual story episode and growth of three characters, meaning Morgan, June, and Althea, but I missed the rest of the cast in this episode. I think they just wanted a little bit more growth or what's going on, a more introduction, and see how Wendell and Sarah are incorporated, and obviously bring in our future antagonist. Mm-hmm. But
the style of this 4B is so similar to the style so far of 4B of Walking Dead, because it was similar where you had, you know, these single episodes and dual or sometimes ABC plots, but it didn't, you know, focus on everyone. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of eerily similar how they're doing that here again, but it's unlike that, they were all heading to Terminus, whereas here they're all trying to, you know, get back together and ending up mm-hmm. all different places. By the way, I'll say this now. I said earlier that I went back and I watched The Code. You know that those guys went 400 miles and Morgan didn't wake up?
I know they went a very far. Yeah, they went pretty far.
Yeah. Yeah,
Morgan was really tired.
Well,
Wendell said, now I was thinking about this one, and this is kind of an aside, but I think it's worth saying. I think that what they must have done is when Morgan was looking in, trying to get into the cab, and then he, you know, went into the back of the trailer, they must have been sleeping in the cab. That must have been it. And
yeah,
we didn't see them, but they... We know now that there's like a, you know, a back, you know, an area where they can crash and where they can sit. So they must have been there and he just didn't see them. So that's just my own, you know, as they say in the Star Trek lore, they say headcanon. I hate that term, but if I want to explain it, that's probably what was going on, but still, it doesn't make any sense how he could have slept through 400 miles of interstate travel in the apocalypse.
Yeah, totally.
All right, Kyle, you've got a few here.
Yeah, like June and really all of them, like just like they're not good at conserving energy.
No.
I thought it was like a bit selfish of Athea or like June to use Athea's camera. And then of course later on she's like, oh, the battery's dry. Sorry. And and Athea's all like, oh, were you watching the tapes again? And I just, you know, I feel like you're in this survival moment, like those things matter. If you guys didn't have diesel or you were like searching, that your energy, even if it's a camera, it's like those, you know, charger walkies, that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Well, were those walkies chargeable or did they have batteries?
Because no,
she mentioned something about batteries.
No, she didn't mention batteries, but I mean, we don't see any of that. So we have no idea. And I'm assuming that Athea mentioned of that, like, you know, we have no way to charge things, which would mean, oh, they're using the, you know, alternator of her van, like, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, so it's like that makes sense, whatever, but you know, we don't know. Like, these walkies are, I'm assuming, yes, they can be charged, so that would mean you're just using them all the time. And, anyways, and I was kind of like, it's like, I kind of like, did they just leave them on all the time, hoping to hear from someone from the group, or it's like, I just really didn't know how they were using them. And I don't know, it just kind of put me off because it's like, you just always have it on. I mean, I know my phone can only go for basically, you know, all day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a walkie, I'm sure maybe could have a little bit more, you know, extended standby time.
Mm-hmm.
But
not really. Actually, walkies, the way they work, because we can look at our phone, there's always something that shows you a bar of how much power you have.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. With walkie-talkies, you don't have that.
No. But, I mean, it's like, if it's not receiving a signal, is it not using as much juice as when you're actually using it?
No, it's the same.
Yeah, okay.
It's consistent. Any CB walkie that you get, or regular walkie-talkie. Mm-hmm. Unless it's the really cheap ones that we see for like $60 at any local Walmart or Target or anything like that, big box store. They're going to have a little bit charging or battery life, but the old school ones that you get that are military grade or for, let's say, the police, they don't have an indicator of battery life at all.
That's dumb.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't really get how they were using them. So, it just seemed very wasteful and like just you're reaching out there for whatever. And I don't know. I found it weak because it was just like, oh, you guys seem to always have so much gas and so much all this other stuff that you all have walkie talkies that just seem to always work. And this is going to be the first time that, yeah, now they're having that issue.
Not necessarily. Think about it. Morgan had an issue a long, long time ago when he couldn't reach Rick because the battery went dead.
Well, but yeah, I mean, however, I don't want to.
However, they were only using the walkies at a certain time of day.
Right.
It was like at dawn, I think. Mm-hmm. And they weren't leaving it on 24/7 like they seem to be doing here. So I agree with you, Kyle. There's some suspension of disbelief that needs to be happening here. But I will also say that I'm glad that they are actually using walkie-talkies because that, to me, is the one thing that has always driven me crazy about Walking Dead, that half the time they don't even have them, you know?
Because
to me, that would be like top five things you would want to have in the apocalypse, you know? Right under food, shelter, and, you know, water, whatever.
Yeah.
Communication is basic format.
Yeah.
No, totally.
And you can't, you know, it's not like the cell phone towers work anymore. So you have to have walkie-talkies. And for any group to function, you know, it's either that or they're going to use smoke signals.
Right. No, no.
Or mirrors, like or mirrors. Lost, where they could flicker the light and do, you know.
Yeah. But, well, and then here's the other part of it, too, is like, I thought June had a walkie and then Athea had a walkie.
Mm-hmm.
But then when June ran out to go do her quest or whatever, you know, what happened to the one that Athea had? Like she, I think she dropped it or whatever. And then when she got out of the truck to go fix the tire, and then I actually then went back because like, this was my original thought before I went back to see it. And then it's like, when I went back, you know, June's ran out and Athea uses her gun to get her to stop. And this is at the end because she changed her mind about going with her. But as she says, she's like, would have walkied, but the battery. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because June's ran out.
Mm-hmm.
But then Athea still had hers. So I just don't understand it because it's like, why didn't they use that to call Morgan? Like, she didn't, like, there's.
Right. I think I know what you're saying.
The
big one was out, but what about the little one, right?
Right. Yeah. And she used that whenever June called her being like, hey, where's the medicine? And sorry, I'm like, I kind of got a little, like my notes, like it got a little jumbled or whatever. But it was like through the whole entire episode, you know, here's these walkies we're using as communicate, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, wait, June had one. She calls out to Athea saying, hey, where's the medicine? She's fixing the tire, deals with the walker. How that got on the ground as far away, because in the scene before that, you see her actually holding it, walking around the truck. But anyways, so it was just kind of like, okay, so she had a walkie that she used to talk to June. June comes back, her walkie dies, but you never see Athea's walkie ever again or even mentioned. So it's like, oh, isn't it still have battery? Anyway, so that was weak because I was like, that's a very, to me, was like inconsistency.
Yeah. I agree. Okay, so I am going to dock last week's episode. and so I said I wasn't so hard on last week's after I watched it again today. But this is an error, I think, for the showrunners and whoever keeps track of this stuff. Okay, so last week, they were putting the boxes at mile markers ending in 4. Yet this week, they stopped at mile marker 27. Now, if you think about it for in terms of the episode and the plot, it makes a lot more sense to use a 7 here as opposed to a 4, because it was easy enough for Crazy Lady, as they call her, Filthy Woman. That sounds terrible. but apparently that's what she's called in the script. So yeah. Filthy Woman was able to change a 1 to a 7, make it look like a 7. And that's how Quinn got duped. But that should have been carried backward. And they should have been dropping off the packages at 7s, not 4s. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of thing that it's just like, that really bugged me while I was watching it. And I just thought, that's sloppy. And it's not sloppy from Kalinda Vasquez's point of view as the scriptwriter, but from a whole show, they should have used the 7 last week. There was no reason. And, you know, they probably did it. We had seen a box earlier, I think in episode 9, and I don't know what the marker must have been at 4s on that one, but, there is no reason they should have either had them stop at 4s here, and it would take a little more tape, but you could still make a 1 look like a 4, I think.
Or it could be just like a knocked over sign or, you know, yeah. damage sign that could have.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, it's not a weak point within the episode, but it's a weak point within the whole half season. It should have been consistent with the ending number. That may be a little anal retentive, but but if you think about it, consistency wise, it just makes so much more sense if they just kept that consistent between the two episodes, you know?
Definitely.
It's a minor point, but it's just, it's attention to detail that clearly was not carried forward here. So I want to dock them for that. It's not a major thing. It's just it's like consistency thing. Okay, so why wouldn't Althea take the keys? It was so darn important for her not to lose her stuff. You know, take the keys with you. Hello.
she was sick.
Well, maybe. No.
Is something that important to you? You lock the doors and take the key.
And she left it to June. So
yeah. And another thing, it's a trope within the show, but yet again, we get it again. Quinn couldn't hear the walker and the crazy lady coming until they were one step yeah. away from him.
Yeah,
I agree with that. That was so bad.
Yeah. Did you know all walkers have ninja skills? We saw that in the hilltop.
Yeah, but well, I can still hear him go.
I know you think. I know, totally. He was on the walkie, so he was distracted. But yeah, it's
just crazy. Yeah, it was so so focused on removing the tape from that mile marker. So why don't they go back to where they were? Like that it seems to me that a lot of their problems would kind of right themselves if they just like knew to meet up back at the bridge or the mansion
or whatever. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of silly that they're doing all this. I understand, you know, why, but it's still kind of goofy for them to do this. I had mentioned the antibiotics already, or Cheryl did, so nothing more to say about that. Althea takes a stab at the walker and takes off his ear, but she stops trying to stab him. Now, doesn't it make more sense to have you know, the sick Althea to try to stab versus trying to knock a car off a jack, you know, mm-hmm. and like, to me, that takes a heck of a lot more effort than her trying to stab the walker in the neck. I don't know. Did she lose the knife?
I thought she lost the knife. I thought, I'd have to go back to see it, but I thought she did one swing at it and hit it just not, you know, like underneath the chin or whatever. But then I thought the knife just fell away and like she didn't have it.
It may have fallen away, but it wasn't it wasn't really clear. That was the thought that I had, but still it's like she took the one stab and it just took off the walker's ear and that was it. So it was,
well, I have a thought on that. Maybe we haven't really seen her attack too many zombies, have we? We only see her use the guns, so we don't know what her experience with the Zeds are directly.
Yeah,
within this world, we only saw her within the actual truck itself in shooting, maybe helping, and then opposing other threats, meaning other people. But we have not seen her directly with a zombie and dealing with that head on.
I kind of recall. I feel like though that we've seen her. I don't know. That's a good question. But at the same time, though, she was sick and weak, and you know, when you don't have any energy, maybe she just was like, just she made her stab, and then just like couldn't hold on to it or whatever, and just you know. And of course, then there was like it much cooler to see her. She had the energy to kick the truck until it like the jack moved.
That was my point. To me, even trying to find the knife would have been a better choice than her trying to do that. It was a good effect, and I liked it for that, but you know, and it probably would have been on my awesome sauce. It was just the why she had to do it in the first place and maybe not put it there. But I do have a couple of weak things about Althea that I will mention.
Okay.
You're worthless and weak.
Writing of Althea's character.
Yeah, I agree.
It's kind of funny, and this has nothing to do with the fact that I met Jenna Elfman, okay? But I find June more interesting now than Althea. It's like there's a lot more going on with June and her character, and I like it a lot more than I did at first. You know, I found her very annoying. But now I find that she's really interesting, and I like the journey she's going through. And Althea seems to be two-dimensional, you know? Like, there's nothing there underneath her trying to find stories. And, you know, they mention the fact that once, you know, you've been looking, you know, getting stories so long, you stop having any stories of her own, but that's kind of a cop-out. And the second weak thing, and I won't play the sound, the jingle this time, but I think it was weak not telling the story of how she got the truck. Like, I think it would have been a better choice not even to bring that up at that point than for her to say, you know, oh, that's not something I want to discuss at this time or whatever she said. Because it just was. Maybe they're saving that up to a later episode, but still, I just found it like if you want to give the character some dimension, maybe they could talk about how she got the truck. Mm-hmm. But instead, Althea, you know, is so focused on getting the truck and so focused on getting stories from people that there's nothing else there. And I have a little more to say about Althea in the next section. So we'll go on to that. But I thought that was a poor writing choice there.
Well, maybe eventually, hopefully by the end of the season, they actually turn the camera around to her and somebody grabs the camera and does an interview with her.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure she hasn't been behind the camera that she's been pointing to everybody else. And they get the whole story out of Althea of where she came, what she did before, why she's doing this, and why she's eager to help everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that comes around.
And you know, something else too, I think I put this in my notes, but later on, but I'll say it here. How come we don't see her interviewing June? Did she interview June in the past? Because I don't remember her doing that. I would think that June would have a pretty interesting story to tell. And she spent all these days with her. Why didn't she interview June?
Yeah, she never, I don't think June would let her. And, you know, why they were before the storm hit, I feel like that she was like, no, I'm not doing that. And then, you know, I think Athea was like, okay, I understand, you know, whatever. I thought that was like a couple episodes ago. And Athea was kind of like, oh, let me get my camera. She's like, no. Like, basically kind of like off the record. But yeah, I mean, I think she wants that story. But yeah, they haven't had that little camera to heart.
All right. Well, we have some sad sauce, but it's just our own. All right, Mark, you've got some.
Yeah, that would be June looking at John's video that Althea did while they were stuck with no gas. It was a little disturbing. Yeah, it showed that she really cared for John, and it was her way of trying to reach out with him or to find a little bit more about him or relate to him in some way when they're so far apart and they don't know what's happening with one another. So that was a little bit sad to me. It showed a lot of heart, showed a lot of emotional feeling within the character of June. And I really appreciated that because it shows that maybe this relationship will move on. So the other would be Quinn. I was hopeful for that guy, especially since June was wanting him to come with them and he would have made a great addition to the cast, you know. I thought it would be awesome.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And then, but it's like when we get a new nickname, like, was it Cipro for June that he said on the walkie? Yeah, it's like for my character that we just met, you know, it was like nicknames are something that you seem to do when you've made that connection. But then, of course, the connection didn't happen because Purvis chomped him to death. Which was like, yeah, which was like, yeah, no, red shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, all he needed was a red shirt, literally.
Yep.
Yeah, I was hopeful to see that character, at least, you know, for another episode. So I didn't see that coming, his death, until we realized that the number has been fate.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like, oh, that can't be good. But talk about the that's pretty cunning of Crazy Lady to do that. Obviously eavesdropping on everybody. Okay, so I didn't know where to put this. I put it in sad sauce. I'm disappointed in Althea's single-mindedness. I mentioned it earlier, but like lying to June about the antibiotics, like she's willing to die to get the truck over her health. I mean, that's kind of crazy, don't you think?
Definitely.
So I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. The other thing, and it's definitely worth an awe here. I don't know if you noticed this, but I think it was the commercial break prior to the episode starting. It was when they were replaying the code. They showed coming up next was Fear the Walking Dead. And the graphic that they showed was not the 4B graphic. It was the 4A graphic with Madison prominently featured. And I thought, oh man, don't rub it in our faces.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Well, just as well that you didn't see it. I had just turned on the TV and that was like one of the very first things that I saw. So it was fresh in my mind. All right. We have some what sauce.
What?
All right, Mark.
Steve Brown says, how did that walker's leg break? Well, that was due to the mud and really bad bone structure and it decaying over time.
And I'll say the next one, cause I know you've got to come back with it, Kyle. So Cheryl Fox, she says, why does creepy woman need two walkers? She's no Michonne, or is she?
I know.
Had to do that.
And what's with her writing on her faces? Like, you know, Previs had the saying, take what you need, leave what you don't. And Quinn gets, like, she scrawls on him, people you know.
What?
I mean, is she personalizing them to who she wants them to feed them to? So, aka June's next?
And did you happen to notice her penmanship with all the curly cues in the writing?
Oh, no, yeah. It's like, it definitely is an interesting, it's very clear. You can read it very well.
Yeah. Yeah. She's actually quite a good writer on decaying skin. Yeah.
Oh, it's just, it's like, what? Like, what is her deal? And then, obviously, it's like, interesting how the different sayings.
Yeah. I'll say this now, since we're talking about her, but this was in my what sauce. Like, what makes this cray cray filthy woman tick? What's her goal here? The only thing I can think of is, she is chaos. Like, she is a chaos factor in the plot. Otherwise, she would probably be a serial killer in regular society, I imagine.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's what she seems to be, is chaos. There's like no other thing to call her.
Mm-hmm. Like in Get Smart?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that Dr. Chaos or?
the company of chaos.
Yeah.
I was thinking more like the Joker, but just like throwing in monkey wrenches into everybody, like going around, poisoning the water, which that's a good tip for you kiddies. If someone hands you a bottle of water, it's already been opened. Mm-hmm. Don't drink it.
Well, look at Aaron. He did that in the Walking Dead and they were skeptical. Mm-hmm. And obviously these people are like, oh, free water.
Yeah. On the side of the road. It's like, sure. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought that was one of the what's was the first time I saw it, I didn't really catch that because I was kind of focused on Morgan, walking by her and being like, help you? Don't help you. Okay. I'll just leave you. Do your thing. And the second time I watched is when I did see her putting the water into the bottle, and I was kind of like, is she just refilling it for herself? It's like I didn't quite catch that from the first time or even like the second time until I watched Talking Dead, and then I was like, okay, she is kind of chaos or evil. Like,
yeah,
she's not doing this for the benefit of others. She's like, oh, I want to make people sick.
Yeah, it's and she's making them strong. Like,
right.
It's so strange that this whole thing.
It's a little Lizzie storyline.
It is.
Older Lizzie.
Well, yeah.
Much older Lizzie. But I want to know what makes this woman tick. Like, it's just, other than chaos, like, why is she doing this? Like, this is another example of like going back and watching the code again. I still say, like, what were those characters like Wendell and Sarah, what were they doing before they stole the truck? It sounds like they were truck driving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it's just so strange. Like, what were they doing? Just driving a truck around without any goal, without any
purpose? Right, just going back and forth to truck top and just keep going back and forth.
Yeah. And
yeah,
picking up all the stuff that people keep leaving at mile markers. And
yeah. Collecting it. Yeah. I guess we'll see. There was, what was it on, what's the other podcast?
Oh, Walking Dead cast.
Yeah. Like they, I can't remember. Was it like last episode or like the one before where there's, I can't remember what her name was, but they were talking about, is it maybe where she mentioned about how, even though there's like, well, I guess the issues, it's just nice to see that we're outside of our cast that we're used to of being like, oh, here's our central group. And then being able to see like, oh, what are other people doing out there? It's like, we're getting all these new characters and that is kind of like opening up the universe and being like, well, what are other people doing? Like this and that. And one of my kind of like problems with this, these seasons and this episode is the fact that it's like, our cast, like, you know, I think we're so used to having just kind of our group, and then we see all the other little stories as they come in, but they're still, you know, situated around our group and through their eyes, to like having an issue with, you know, like there's so many new characters now that it's like, we're not like the story isn't really moving forward. We're not getting to see, like, you know, the truck drivers and how they even come to be, you know, to this point. They just get thrown onto us and we're like, oh, hi, new characters. But then, you know, Althea is like, well, she's been with us, but we literally don't get anything more than just maybe a tidbit. And we've been waiting for like, what, 9 episodes to even get to that point.
And it's like world building, but instead of building the world, you're sort of like prefabricating the world, you know? So here it is, the world, but they're not really explaining how the world, you know, got that way. It's kind of shortcut.
But it kind of, to me, it hurts the story, or hurts me being able to be invested or involved, because it's like, oh, this week, oh, holding a bunch of new characters, and then we have one of our characters, you know, and it gets jarring to me. Like, I don't know what's going on, because every week it's different.
Well, to add to that, do we all remember when Abraham, Rosita, and Eugene showed up? They looked like a lot like the comic book characters, but we still did not know exactly what was going on with them and where they were from, where they came from, their history. And we had the same issue back then with them. Now, this is not something that's coming from out of a comic book, where readers actually had a little bit of a clue of what was going on. And this, we're feeling it as it comes. So these are newly introduced characters in a new show that doesn't have anything to base itself on.
Right.
So a lot of people were leaking a lot of things out at that time when Abraham, Rosita, and Eugene were coming about. And it took as much time.
Well, still a little difficult with...
It's jarring, is what it is.
Yeah.
It's like we're stuck.
Yeah, I tend to think those three characters, though, we didn't know how, like, Eugene met up with them or anything, but we knew what their deal was. Abraham laid that out very clear, that they were going back to DC, that they were bringing Eugene to get the cure, and that we also knew that he was an ex-military or a current, you know, army guy, but he was very much military, you know, that was obvious. And this, we're still trying to figure out these characters. So I agree with you to a certain extent, but I disagree with you to a certain extent. I go back, though, to how am I feeling about this show after 12 episodes of season 4 versus 12 episodes of season 3? And I remember how I was feeling, and I'm sure, Kyle, you remember when we were podcasting last year about it. Like, it's like, oh, man, it's been so good. And, you know, we kind of – the general consensus is in the end, I think we enjoyed season 3 better than we enjoyed both season 7 and 8 of The Walking Dead, for the most part anyway. And I don't think I'm going to be able to say that about season 4 here. It started out good, but it's not doing it for me like it was. And I don't want to be negative. I've said that again, but I'm just being honest here. I'm trying to,
I have an idea about it. It's pretty much last season, they pulled out all the stops because they knew it was their last season as writers. So they did as much as they could. And then they brought in Scott Gimple to oversee what was going on and bring in writers. So now he's pretty much, I hate saying it, recurring the same story plots as they were in the proper show into this show, where they should really just pull out the stops like they did for the last season, for third season, and do that in this season.
And yeah, I mean, that
for season 5, I think it'll reclaim where it needs to be.
I think it's worth saying that, you know, we've been saying it quite a bit. Season 4B of this show is much like season 4B of The Walking Dead. I don't think 4A was anywhere near the same, but 4B, it is very reminiscent of this. Like, you know, I think we need a Grove for Crazy Lady in episode 14, you know?
So what you're saying is in the dictionary, when it says redundant, see redundant. Sorry, right. Scott Gimple, we love you, but please just go a little off course on the crazy train. Just go off and it will do better.
Now, where's Ozzy Osbourne when you need him?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Mark, you've got a what sauce.
All right, yeah. When did the Oracle from the Matrix show up in the zombie apocalypse and become some crazy psycho lady? And why is she so bad?
Oh, Ben the Spoon.
Okay. It just resembled so much of that. Now, mind you, as soon as I saw her with the dreads and everything, it reminded me of the second version of that character in the Matrix. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay, she sees things and she does things. I was like, and then why is she so crazy? I like her, but I want to like her, but why is she feeding her pet Purvis to Quinn? What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And then she gives up pet Purvis.
You know, replaces him
with pet Quinn.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's something that we get to see, obviously, in the next episodes, because her character does intrigue me because I want to know more about her. And, you know, she's definitely lost it in some way. So,
well, hopefully Morgan will bring her back if they meet up with her and he tries to change her.
Yeah. Although the writing on his forehead that we used to see in the back, you know, trailer, we're like, what is that? To now we know who's writing things on people's foreheads. Yeah, has me very worried.
Spoiler.
Sorry.
I think I have more to say about the Oracle / filthy woman. Worth saying, Gloria Foster played the original Oracle, and then she died before the second movie came out, and in the third movie, she was played by Mary Alice. Yep. I had to look it up because I'm like, that wasn't her.
No, it wasn't her, but she gave that look and appeal the way the actress was. And I was like, the first thing I was like, she looks like the Oracle.
Yeah. I was going to say something before about this, and now I remember what it is. The whole interaction with Morgan and that conversation, you know, like I watched that a few extra times, and wasn't it kind of weird that, you know, he never asked her to join them or anything like that? He just kind of like, it was like he sensed that she was bad or that there was some kind of weird mojo going on, and he just left her, and he didn't seem to notice the water tainting or anything like that. Do you think that was kind of, I don't know if it was weak, but do you think it was kind of weird, that whole?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of like his feeling about Carol, how he knew that she was something more than what she was presenting to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has that perception about him, about people.
Yeah, and I think that's a sign. I kind of took that as just like, you know, Morgan is not very, like, he look you up and down and kind of make a judgment about where you're at and this and that. And I think walking up to that situation when he's just like, I need to go to higher ground or whatever. If I saw that too, I'd be like, hey, yes, just like it says, you know, like do your thing. But the answers that he got, I think he was like, I'm just going to let that be because I'm not really sure what's going on.
Yeah, he got a better sixth sense than Rick did when he went and found the one crazy lady that was
hiding her
husband's head, and that's all she had, and she was trying to feed it to him.
Yeah.
Yes. I think her name, the actress's name is Carrie Condon, who, strangely enough, plays the daughter-in-law of Mike Ehrmantraut in Better Call Saul. I would never know that that's the same woman, but it is.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Which, by the way, if you're not watching Better Call Saul, I highly recommend it. It's really been good this season. All right, Kyle, what about your what sauce?
This seems to be a recurring thing. Shut the door. Again, like, Athea is sick and laying in the truck. June is sent off on her quest, and when she leaves, I mean, there's still a walker just sitting there stuck in the mud, and we all know stuck in the mud is not forever. So shut the door when you're leaving your sick friend behind. It's like, were you born in a barn?
Well, she took it from Carl back in the day when he couldn't really shoot the walker and he left it, and then Dale got bitten.
I know, but like, visually and from people that know, like, but none of these people shut doors. They're just like, yeah. Oh yeah, I'll leave you. You're fine. I'm sorry, but I close the door every time I leave my house.
Yeah, didn't they watch JSS when
yeah.
Just survive somehow. Yeah.
No, and specifically Enid's parents, how they didn't shut the door when they were trying to fix the fuses on the truck, and they paid their price. Actually, yes. SUV.
We've seen this time and time again this season. Just shut the door behind you.
Yeah. Clearly, there is no Walking Dead in the Fear the Walking Dead universe.
No.
they didn't get to watch the reruns.
No. That would be kind of weird because Morgan would say, hey, that's me. Anyway. All right. My what sauce. Did Sarah figure out from because she was right there when Althea said to Morgan about, like, oh, you found another ride to Alexandria. At the time, he had not mentioned Alexandria to them. He had only called it Virginia. So do they now know where to go?
Well,
possibly. Maybe that's something that was underlined that we just never heard.
Yeah.
He probably gave, like, the names of what it was. Just like about the pet tiger, and I forget which character was asking about it in the previous episode. Oh, Althea was asking. I want to hear about that pet tiger and that the king had. And
yeah.
But yeah, I have to go look, like, rewatch that, because that's really interesting. She could have been, like, in the back corner. I don't know, but you know, Morgan has been always saying Virginia, but I think Althea knows that it's Alexandria, and I think Morgan has even said that fact. So
yeah, he definitely had said it to Althea, but he hadn't said it to
Sarah,
the other three.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, Sarah, so, Wendell. Yeah, or
Jimbo,
or even Jimbo. Yeah, yeah. Jimbo the beer guy.
He still doesn't like that name.
He should, because he's all about the beer. Man, I tell you, what a talk about, you know, I was talking about Althea being two-dimensional. That's a one-dimensional character.
Beer, beer, beer.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to skip the next point I have here. I'll do that last. The one strange thing that I found in the direction, and I don't think it was direction, I think it was editing, is while June was searching for the drugs in the truck, and while Althea was fighting, there was a weird montage. Did you catch that? It showed June, like, going through this, and then there'd be a quick cut, and then she would be doing something else, and then another quick cut.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of weird, and I wonder if they just did that to cut it for time. But it was kind of strange, I thought. So
I think that's what it was. They could have gone over and beyond with her trashing that truck, looking for Cipro and whatever drugs that Althea stated that she had.
Yeah.
And they figured that, hey, she's attacking Quinn verbally, saying, where are the drugs? I don't believe you.
And, yeah. You know, it probably was like going back and forth between the fight and the search for the drugs was too much searching for drugs time, and they probably cut it, but it was just kind of weird. I didn't really like that they did that. I think they could have done it a little bit smoother way. I don't necessarily think that was a Coleman Domingo error, but just from an editing perspective, it looked weird.
Mm. Well, the last
what sauce I have, and I have to mention, another podcast mentioned this. I don't remember which one it was, but it was mentioned on another podcast. Isn't it too dry? Like, they just had a hurricane, yet look around
it's very dry outside.
It's dry everywhere. So how the heck, I don't care if several days had passed, I don't think it would be that dry. I would think it would take days for that to dry up.
Hmm.
I don't remember which one it was, but it wasn't the one I normally listen to.
Well, everybody else, we listen to everybody else's, our fellow podcasters when they talk too.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, it's worth saying, since you mentioned Brains Got Bad, Lizzie had some really interesting insights about Sarah that I hadn't thought of. None of us did. That the fact that she must be a superwoman because she's able to like do all this stuff. Because, you know, clearly Wendell, he can't do all the strength things that she would have to do. So, I mean, she's been picking up people and doing a lot of heavy lifting, and you know, she's pretty thin, so she must be superwoman. So Lizzie, I don't know if you're hearing this, but I'll give you kudos on that for last week's episode. Yeah,
that was awesome.
All right, so that, I think that's it. Now let's go into our regular feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. Mark, you've got something from Steve.
Steve Brown says, I'm willing to stick this out to the end of the season, at least. I hope they land it well. Knowing that they have been renewed already helps. I hope they don't end on a big cliffhanger because of that fact.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth saying, even with the ratings decline, this is still the second highest rated drama on the network, and it's still pretty high in the ratings for, you know, cable TV. So that's worth saying, but it's, you know, the ratings have declined. Yeah. I am hopeful as well that is a sign that they think in the end the story ended up, you know, well, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. I hope that the whole thing pays off at the end, because
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same here.
All right. Next.
All right. Next is Glynis Goltz. And she says, June actually used her real name to a stranger on the radio, and who had earlier pointed a gun at her. So she's facing her demons and past actions. Looks as if Al was a victim of the poison water. And Filthy Lady is going to be a formidable opponent, as she is clever and conniving. The group will need to be on their toes to defeat her successfully. Need to have Al's story revealed with the bog tapes, since the SWAT van is all covered in dried mud. Her loved ones must have perished in those labeled tapes. And waiting for the showdown to come between Al and the Filthy Lady for the SWAT van. Agreed.
Yeah, it's worth saying that she's got that SWAT van, and I don't think Althea's gonna.
She's not like that too much. That. No, but Glynis makes another good point, though. It's like, you know, as long as we've had Al in this whole season so far, and seeing some of those, like the bog tapes and all that stuff, like I hope we get to see what some of those things, you know, tapes are, because if we don't get any more backstory other than like, oh, I just found a SWAT van and got out of there and all my friends perished, and like, that's it.
Yeah.
I think we deserve more than that.
We definitely do. And it's hurting the character at this point. like I said earlier, making her seem two-dimensional. Maybe she is three-dimensional once we see these tapes, but it's a little annoying at this point. And it didn't make her look too good to do what she did. And you could see clearly June was not happy with her at all.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
No.
Nor should she be. So, all right. Well, next is from PB and Zane. First thing she mentions last week's episode, she said, I need to change last week to a 6.5 out of 10 rating. I went overboard since it was a semi-decent episode, but not worthy of an 8. And I guess I would bump mine up to either a 6.5 or 6.75, something like that, from the 6.244. I was hard on the episode, but the mistakes that they made in terms of plot, I think there's no reason for it. Mm-hmm. All right. She continues. She says, I was happy to see Morgan doesn't like the Momo thing either. Why does everything need to be explained over and over? That's a good point. We should do this. We should do that. Everything always needs to be explained. Yeah. It's the same thing over and over. Getting old. I think they have finally lost me. Aww. When you have to watch an episode twice just to try to find something to say about it, is it worth continuing to watch? Ooh.
Ouch.
Yeah. I mean, I felt that a little bit myself. She says, I used to get so excited to watch both dead shows. Now, not so much. Wasn't there a movie back in the day that gave points for killing things? Death Race 2000 or something like that? I kind of like the point game for killing walkers. Yeah, I feel your pain there. And of course, PB and Zane is, her real name's Judy. I feel your pain, Judy. Watching it twice just to say something about it, that doesn't sound like a good thing. For us, it's kind of par for the course. Mm-hmm. But I watched this episode way too many times, partially because, you know, of the holiday. And I also had this my first day off at work, so I had Tuesday off. It was not worth watching it as many times as I usually have to watch it. And I mm-hmm. watched even more than that this time. All right, Mark, we're into our own notes, so go for it.
It would be mile marker 27 being a profound in this episode. What was the significance of this number? It's really strange. Why would they put that as a prominent number that they put all these boxes at? And on top of that, with Quinn showing up at the wrong mile marker with the crazy lady.
I think the whole thing was designed because it's easier to make a 1 a 7 than it is to make it a 4.
Mm-hmm.
Although you could still make a 4 out of a 1, you know, just takes a little more tape, you know? But I think that's why, but it's still, I don't know why that particular 27 was
even
picked. Yeah, like, yeah. All right. What else you got?
I knew Al was lying all about the drugs on the truck or van, depends on how you view it. It was a way for her to get what she wants. Seems that all she cares about more than anything are the truck and tapes than her own life. Why? Where's her story? We need that story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I hope that we do get that story soon because it makes her very yeah. flat as a, like, it, you know, she's a chick with layers.
Yeah.
Where are those layers right That's, now? It seems to be straight and narrow. Everything's two dimensional. So She says she's a chick with layers. Where are the layers?
Yeah, and the fact that she even said that and you just brought that up just totally was like, oh, yeah, right. Like, we're not getting any of that. Like,
no.
We're like, if we have to wait till the end of the season to finally get a layer, then that's not a good use of her character.
No, no. You know, it's like she describes herself as a Big Mac, but it's more like she's a cheeseburger.
A smashed one.
Yeah, well. And Maggie Grace, don't read into that. That was just, I was thinking layers. I guess I'm hungry.
Or he was thinking about Shrek. No, we just got layers.
I do have to say, though, that I did not think that she was lying whenever she was trying to get her to go get medicine. I feel like it just seemed like the SWAT vehicle has everything in it. She's been, you know, like that's her home base, home, whatever. And so I didn't really think that. It didn't even cross my mind that she was lying until after the fact.
Made perfect sense afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I thought, man, that is so self-centered. And I'm, you know, I said it earlier, it's like you're willing to die to get the van. You're willing to jeopardize your life. It's just really odd.
Yeah. What, like Jenna on The Talking Dead, she like mentioned, I didn't even think that there was the thing connection with June risking her life for Al to get the meds, but it was like how it was like her leaving to get her meds for her daughter. But then when she came back for her daughter, you know, she had turned and killed her whole FEMA camp. And so it was her. So it was basically June being betrayed by Althea, lying was like what really broke her trust for Al. And she mentioned that on The Talking Dead. And I never caught that kind of connection with her, with her character. I almost kind of forgot that even happened. So it was very interesting. I'm like, obviously, Althea lied to her, but I didn't realize to what extent how damaging that was to June. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I thought hearing that part after, it was like, okay, that still blew over my mind.
Yeah. I don't know. Does Althea know that story?
No,
I don't think she does. And there we go with the, why didn't she interview her?
It's
kind of strange. You had one more point, Mark.
Oh, well, I just thought Coleman Domingo did a great job with directing this episode. It was three stories in one. You know, June, Althea, Morgan, Sarah, Wendell, and Jimbo, and the crazy lady with the zombie. I thought that was pretty awesome. You know, where could we go from there? You got some interesting facts within an episode that was a little bit convoluted, but it had a little bit of the markings of what you would need from certain characters at in certain points. June's interaction with Quinn.
Yeah.
Morgan's interaction with the crazy lady or the Oracle of crazy. you had June's interaction with Althea. I think I brought that up. And Althea being sick and her trying to manipulate June, kind of the way that June was manipulating everybody else in the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. We saw where that went. So it's kind of like a melding of trying to manipulate the characters to see where they go further on. I'm just hoping they wrap this up at the very end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. All right, Kyle, you had some notes.
I still don't get why Sarah, Wendell, and Jimbo keep sticking with Morgan. I mean, they've had so many chances just to leave him behind and just go and do whatever. But I just feel like there's like this weird loyalty to him because they're basically, Morgan's just like, hey, let's go find my people. You just do what I say. But like, I don't understand why they just don't go to Virginia if that's what's motivating them. You know, it's kind of like where, Morgan like left them to go do, go get higher ground or whatever. Like they're just sitting around. I mean, I get, we get to see that, they're Sarah's all like, oh, hey, crack open or tailgating or whatever. But I still don't get what is motivating them to stick around. They have all the resources. They have everything. They have that semi. Why don't they just, hey, we know people are up in Virginia. Let's just hightail it out of here. I'm not really understanding how much, why that's still sticking. Why does that work? That whole relationship.
Yeah. Which is worth saying to, obviously, Sarah and Wendell supposedly know where all the diesel is. They mentioned mm-hmm. that last episode. So, if they ever do get the van back, they know where to get the diesel.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's kind of like I was, like they obviously must know where all the diesel, because it's like Quinn ran out of diesel, June and Althea ran out of diesel. As like, wouldn't they be close to running out of gas too? Because we haven't seen them fill up, and they're just letting Morgan say, hey, we're going this way. And they've been, there was that mile marker or the sign that said Houston was like, I forgot what it was actually, how many miles away it was, but there was a sign that was like down on the ground that we saw, I think, at the beginning. It was like Houston this way, like 60 miles or whatever.
76 miles.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Yes.
So, I mean, they went from what, in Mississippi, and they've traveled that far, and obviously gas is going to be an issue, but that doesn't seem to be an issue yet. Batteries and walkie-talkies are issues.
Well, I guess we could assume that there are these other, rest stops that are equipped, but we just haven't seen them. Yeah, there's a lot of yada, yada, yada going on here.
Yeah.
it would stand to reason that especially a semi is going to use a huge amount of diesel.
Yeah. And yeah, they can store a lot of diesel, but they also use a lot of diesel.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
I mean, it's interesting. While I like new people, just like Al. it's like, here's Sarah and Wendell, and their whole story is just trucking and always trucking. And Jimbo somehow comes along, they try to steal his beer, but yet they try to kill him. But then, he comes around because Morgan saved him to like, let's go cross country and go find more people. And now here we are with June and Athea and Morgan. And Quinn, who then, Quinn's dead. But, they're so fine with just like, isn't that more people that are going to drink your beer?
Well, you know why, right? Why they follow them? It's because the producers say have to.
Okay. It's not just the hope of Virginia.
Well, it must be. But I get your point. They know it's Virginia. They could start driving toward Virginia, although it is worth saying Virginia is a pretty big state. It's not Texas size, but it is pretty big. And,
they have maps. They know where maybe cities are, here's the road. I mean, if they've been, that's my thing. It's just like this dynamic I'm still having issues with, and I want to see where the payoff is. Because if it's just, we're going to go to Virginia, he's going to take us there, well, you're wasting a lot of resources just doing this.
I have to agree.
Yeah.
Is that all you have? Yeah,
that was it.
All right. There is no Highway 365. I looked that up. No, there is no Highway 365. It was, according to the sign, it was a U.S. route that was clear because it had a federal sign or shape on it. But it's the same shape that all the U.S. highways have. So it was supposedly a U.S. Route or a U.S. highway, but that highway does not exist. So I think there may be one that's getting built, but it does not exist yet. So
I saw
another post. It was actually on the Walking Dead cast. Someone else was trying to figure this out, and they were saying, okay, it's not the one in Louisiana, it's not the one in Texas. It's like for state routes, but it was not a state route sign. It was a U.S. sign, number one. But they were also saying that none of those roads have any mile marker 27s on them. So anyway, fictitious road. It's not the first time that we've seen them do that. I think they did that in The Walking Dead. I think they used like a U.S. Route 23 or something like that, I remember there was one road that was a 23, and that road did not exist in Virginia. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they did this on the other show too.
Well, maybe it's something in their world, because apparently there is no such thing as zombies in their world, and don't speak of them as such, and there's no Romero. So maybe there are these specific roads in their world. And in comparison to ours.
And I think, I mentioned it before, Alexandria is not rural.
Yeah. Totally. Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is not like if you look it up on Google Maps, it is heavily suburban and almost urban. And there's stuff all over the place. So this Alexandria looks nothing like the real Alexandria. So we learned something this episode. Sarah and Wendell are actually brother and sister. It wasn't a thing. Of course, the twins thing, that's kind of, unless there's a chimera involved, hi, my mom's a chimera. And if you don't know what a chimera is, they have like two sets of DNA. That's what that means. Somehow they're twin brother and sister. Maybe they were born on the same day. Maybe there was like a snatched at birth story.
Who knows? but I love the sibling rivalry, what they have. If you look in the very beginning about points, and hey, remember when dad did this?
Yeah.
So obviously they are related in some way, and you got to enjoy that factor. And if they say they are, I believe it, and I care for it, and I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to know the backstory there. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, what their backstory was prior to meeting Morgan, but also, you know, I'm very curious now about how they grew up together and stuff. Like, were they orphans, you know, like in a foster home? Was one of them adopted, you know, or was there some other weird kind of situation? But it is interesting. They're interesting characters, I would say. I don't think we've had anybody like those two. Although I'll say, you notice Sarah's got a strange delivery about her. Like, I don't know if it's Mo Collins, the actress, that's doing it, but it's very deliberate. I was going to say something about this last week, but I didn't. I guess I was waiting to see if I'd feel any differently this week. But like, you notice, like, she will like nod, turn around, and then say something. It's kind of like, you know, step one, look. Step two, move your head. Step three, say something. Like, it's just the way she walks and talks is deliberate. That's the only way I could explain it. I think it's one of those things, if you notice this, you may next week go, oh, I see what you mean, Brian. Because once I kind of noticed that about her, I couldn't stop noticing it in her delivery. It's not necessarily a negative, but it is kind of weird in my take.
Hmm.
Just a couple more things. I already mentioned weak Jim character. I hope there's a little more to him. It's kind of funny. He almost seems like more comic relief more than anything. Even more than, you know, well, I wouldn't say more. Same as the Wendell and Sarah. Although I do like those two. I think they do bring something interesting to the show, and kind of a almost like a Eugene kind of thing. But like, I like when Wendell said, "This dude," when Morgan just kind of, you know, said, you know, you'll wait or something like that. And he's like, "This dude," I thought that was funny.
So are you calling, are you feeling like Jim's the third wheel?
Kind of.
I mean, that's how I feel too. Seems to be in the background at the moment.
Yeah. Nothing but beer.
Right. That's all he can offer.
So right now, you know, I talked a lot about, you know, how I felt about it in season three versus now in season four. This is very much feeling like a spinoff of the two shows, because there's, you know, there's only a couple, well, three characters left over from Fear and Morgan. So it's really feeling like a much different show now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Definitely.
I don't know if that's a good thing. So
I guess they're trying to keep them walking.
Yeah.
And moving on, kind of like, what was it, season four or season five? When
season four.
Yeah. And they just kept walking and moving on, and eventually they met each other. So I think by the end of the season, they'll probably meet each other, but not at Terminus.
Let's hope not.
Screwing with the wrong people. Yeah.
So that's my thought.
All right. That's it for our observations, because I had a couple other things, but they've already been said. This is normally where we go into news, ratings, and info. However, we're going to skip this because I have no news, no info about this episode that I wrote down. And as far as ratings, there was none yet. Because of Labor Day, ratings are always delayed a day. We're just going to move on. We'll do a double sample next time. So,
because I would like to know like where the plus three and all that stuff after the holiday to see where we're at, because people are on holiday. They're not going to be.
The thing is, the site that normally publishes this stuff, TV by the Numbers, has not been doing a very good job of late posting the stuff. They did post the live plus three and the live plus seven for episode 10. But I haven't seen any for episode 11 yet. And, I just don't know from week to week if it's going to be posted. So I did find this other, website, which is, programminginsider.com.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't, they're the way that they do it, it's a little harder to find the ratings, but they are posting them. I just have to find the links to them. So I did post, I think, the ones that I found on TV by the Numbers in the Facebook group, but we'll just skip that because I think it's going to be telling. And it's also worth saying that when we do cover the ratings next week, they're going to be low. I mean, the live plus same day, it's going to be lower than, you know, it's going to be an all-time low. We know this because it's on Labor Day. And I remember, I don't remember what's, it might have been season two that they did a Labor Day episode, and it was low then, quite a bit lower than the previous week. So it's going to be the same way this time around.
Yeah, that's, I figured as much.
Same here.
Yeah. All right. But we'll cover 2 weeks of episodes next week. Let's go into supporting the or submitting your feedback. Kyle, how do we do that?
All right. To submit your theories and feedback, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit text or audio or use a SpeakPipe widget. Call 304-837-2278. Or like most people, post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, which is at www.facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm. And the deadline for submitting feedback for the next episode is Tuesday, September 11th at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. And you can also follow us on Twitter at walkingdeadgsm.
And it's worth saying that September 11th is on a Tuesday, much like it was on 9/11. that's kind of it's going to be a sad day to remember that, just because I remember specifically it was a Tuesday morning. Anyway, to support the podcast, best way to do that is to subscribe to us. So in any podcast client of your choice, make sure you subscribe. That way you get the latest episode when it comes out. If your podcast client of choice, such as Apple Podcasts, has the ability to rate or review, you could help us out by giving the highest rating that is available on whatever client that is. And of course, in Apple Podcasts, that would be a 5-star rating. And you can help us out even more by giving a review. We didn't get any new reviews, but I did notice that Steve updated his review. So thank you, Steve Brown. I recognized it had changed, just the date of it had changed, and he made an even more glowing recommendation of us. So
thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah. Other ways to support the network, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/support. We were unable to record the Star Trek Discovery podcast again this past long weekend. I had really hoped to be able to do it, but the other people that I was trying to get, including my co-host, weren't available. So we're going to try again this week. I really want to get that episode out, but unfortunately, you can't get the episode out unless you're able to record it. So, oh well. What's going on at Panels to Pixels?
Well, me and Steve are continuing on. We're finishing up Luke Cage supposedly soon, so everybody could listen to the full Punisher podcast. This coming week, we'll have a majority of the Jessica Jones coming out, and soon you'll hear the Luke Cage.
Ah, so letting them out in chunks then?
Oh, definitely. People like to binge listen, like I do.
Yep.
All right. Kyle, do you have anything to plug?
My drinking tea and eating banana is still on hold, but I'm slowly getting there and just trying to decide if do I want to make it audio only or should I go video?
And do you vary the type of banana or the type of tea drink?
Yeah, it can either be by request or just, I don't know. It might go down, you know, the list of, you know, Earl Grey to, you know, like green.
Yeah.
I love Earl Grey.
Anyways, it's still a work in progress.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll be hearing that quite a bit in the next year or two.
Exactly. Maybe that's my inspiration.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Next episode, season 4, episode 13, is titled Blackjack. And hopefully that's about the licorice and not the the card game, because we saw that clip of John Dory talking about blackjack licorice this week. Mm-hmm. Written by co-showrunner Ian Goldberg, and I believe he's a executive story editor or something like that. One of the staff writers, Richard Nang. Directed by, and I hope I get this person's name right, I don't know if it's male or the person is male or female, but Sharat Raju. And the description is as follows. Strand and Dory are marooned. Yay, we get to see Strand and Dory.
Mm-hmm.
Luciana aids a man in need. Boo, we get to see. I hope that they make her character more interesting. And lastly, the group's efforts to help a stranger put everyone in danger.
It's a trap!
Yeah, stranger danger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I already have an idea who that's at.
Me too. All right, until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.